have to remind folks, because it's been, what, a year and a half since we've used them, and we use those other communion things I'm grateful that we had them. Let me put it that way. And so, anyway, it's good to have you with us this morning, and thank you for spending your time with us. If you have a Bible and you would like to open your Bible to Luke chapter 7, we're going to read there. Now, just for those of you who are unsure where we are, we have two more weeks in a series that I've been doing called Eyes Wide Open, where we're looking at people through the eyes of Jesus and how we should respond. And then the 1st of July, we'll start a series on Mark. And it's going to be one sermon per chapter. And now you're going to say, well, how are you going to do that? It's going to be interesting, is what it is. Because obviously I can't cover everything in there, so we'll hit the highlights. And there will be 16 sermons in that, because there are 16 chapters. So you can then read Mark chapter 1 ahead of time and know what, you know, well, you might not know what the sermon is, but at least you'll be familiar with the passage of Scripture of Mark chapter 1 and Mark chapter 2 as we go along. But I'd like to read this passage this morning. There's some profound things in here, and hopefully we'll be able to bring them out to you this morning. So let's start with verse 36. We're going to read to the end of the chapter, which is verse 50. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Let's pray, please. And Lord, I pray that you will give us wisdom as we study and clarity as we try to learn. I ask for your word to come alive in our hearts, that as we study, we will see how Jesus accepted people, that he looked beyond who they were, he looked beyond their shame, beyond their sin, and he saw a person who needed somebody, and that was him. I pray that you will help us to do the same thing as we study today, to grasp your word and then be able to apply it. And then I pray, Father, that as I bring the message this morning, that you will help me to step aside and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. But in his name I pray. Amen. I have to confess to you that there are times that I feel like George McFly in Back to the Future. If you ever watched the movie, Marty goes back in time to 1955, and he finds in 1955 that his dad is the milquetoast back then, just like he is in 1985. He also finds out in 1955 that Biff bullied him back then, and Biff bullies him in 1985. Well, there's a scene at the very first part of that movie where Marty comes home and he finds the family car on a wrecker, and it is basically totaled. And he goes in and he hears a discussion between Biff and his dad, and Biff bullying him again. And then finally Biff leaves. And Marty's dad comes to him, George comes to him and say, "Marty, I know, son, I know, but Biff just happens to be my boss, and I hate confrontation." I suspect that if I were to ask all of you to take a list and write down the things that you hate the most or despise doing the most, most of us, if not all of us, would have on that list is I hate confrontation. I don't like to confront people, and I don't want people confronting me. We all live with toxic people. This past pandemic allowed me to read a book called When to Walk Away by Gary Thomas. And it's called Finding Freedom from Toxic People. And this whole book deals with this whole idea of people whom we would just as soon not rather be around. Or if we are around them, we don't want to be around them very long because they just rub off on us. And we call them toxic because they are just that. They are toxic. And so what I want to do today is to take a look at how Jesus handled toxic people, because he was around them all the time. Not so much the outcasts because they needed Jesus, but all the religious leaders, all the self-righteous people, they were the ones that Jesus had the most conflict with, and yet he was around them constantly. I want to take this story that we've read, this passage, this incident in the life of Jesus, and I want to see how Jesus handled toxic people, but at the same time, how he dealt with a woman who was an outcast. The first thing we're going to do is take a look at the contrast in the characters of these people. And one of the best references for the beauty of the Christian faith is a changed life. Let me give you some examples. Look at the life of Saul, who became Paul. Take a look at how Jesus transformed and changed the life of Matthew, the tax collector. He changed and transformed the life of Zacchaeus, another tax collector, and we're going to talk about him next week. How about the woman at the well? Been married 5 times, and the one she was with wasn't her husband, but he transformed her life. He changed her life. And read Luke chapter 8. There's a story in there about the demoniac. He lived in the graveyard. Nobody could control him until he met Jesus. And so one of the greatest testimonies and best references for the beauty of the Christian faith is a changed life. Now, let's go to this story. There is a little bit of backstory here that I want to bring out to you. There are two elements of this story that are absolutely essential. Number one is the oddity of Simon. Simon was a Pharisee. He invites Jesus into his house. Now, you might say, well, what's the big deal about that? I mean, we see constantly Pharisees wanting to take advantage of Jesus, get him to trip up, to make fun of him or whatever. But if you go back a little bit earlier in the same chapter that I just read, you'll find Jesus having a discussion about John the Baptizer. In verse 29 and 30, it says, "When all the people heard this," this is Jesus' teaching, "and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But," that's a big three-letter word here, "but the Pharisees and the lawyers," or scribes, "rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by John." You see, they did not like Jesus, and so they became toxic people. But Jesus would not give in to them because look on down to verse 33. They began to, Jesus actually kind of confronted them where they were. He said, for John the Baptist has come eating bread, eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you said he has a demon. But the Son of Man comes and he does all that, and you say he has a he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. In other words, Jesus couldn't win. But he didn't care. Because you see, what Jesus was all about was changing lives. Well, it seems strange then that after confronting the Pharisees with all this, that Simon says, hey, Jesus, come to my house and let me give you a meal. Let me give you something to eat. So it seemed odd that Simon the Pharisee would do that. But one of the things we will notice is that Jesus does not play favorites. He doesn't look at the religious person, the self-righteous person, and say, oh my, you're the top dog. Jesus never does that. Instead, Jesus knew what people needed. And that leads us to our second one, and that is the oddity of the woman. Now, I'm not saying a woman's odd, okay? So don't send me any emails or don't put some hate mail out there. I'm not saying that she's odd. I'm saying that she's the opposite of Simon. She is a polar opposite of Simon. Whereas Simon was religious, she was not. She was not clean. She was not privileged. She was not a religious person. In fact, she was very unclean. So you have a Pharisee, you have a woman. By the way, you got to keep in mind that a woman in that day, in that age, had absolutely no rights. So you have a Pharisee who believes he's the top of the food chain, and you have this woman who already is at the bottom of the food chain. Then you have this Pharisee who believes he's righteous, and you have this woman who is a sinner, which puts her even lower on the food chain. But here's what's interesting. The woman realizes she needs Jesus. The Pharisee does not. Repeat that. The woman realized she needed Jesus. The Pharisee did not. So Simon is a pompous, arrogant Pharisee, and he invites Jesus to the house. Now, there's, as I said, there are times that they did that. Sometimes they brought him in to trip him up. They asked questions so that he might give the wrong answer, so they thought. But he invites Jesus into his house, and this house is full of men, and in walks a woman. She doesn't belong there. In fact, not only is she a woman in the wrong place, she is also the wrong woman in the wrong place. Notice how he is described. If you go to verse 32, or verse 37, I'm sorry, it says, and behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner. Now you're going to say, well, I'm a sinner too. Yeah, but not according to them. Because see, the Pharisee, he was righteous, and this woman was the sinner. Now, the idea of sinner here is not just someone who just stumbles into sin. The word that is used here is someone who lives in this behavior. So this woman wasn't a sinner just because she happened to sin. It's because she lived in this sin as a lifestyle. Well, she walks into the room. She lets her hair down, which was a no-no. And she does this to Jesus. And we're going to talk about what she does. But long story short, to Simon, she was unworthy. That is in quotes. She is unworthy. So let's move on. Let's talk about the contrast in Jesus' response to the man, Simon, and to the woman. When you look at the story that we've read and that we're going to be looking at, it is obvious some things stand out. Number one, Simon was a Pharisee. Number two, the woman was a sinner. Well, we don't know, or we do know that all that happened, she She came in and wiped his feet and kissed his feet and anointed him. And Simon, thinking to himself, huh, if this man were a prophet, he would know exactly what that woman was like, and he wouldn't even let her touch him. Jesus didn't need to hear that. He knew that. And that's kind of scary, you know, though he can read your mind. Uh-oh. And so he tells a story. He said there was a certain moneylender. He had people who owed him debts. One was 500 denarii, another one was 50. And I don't know exactly what the numerical number of that would be, but let's put it this way. Let's suppose that I owed someone $1 million. And let's suppose that he owed somebody $50. Same guy, $50. Well, he couldn't pay his. I certainly can't pay mine. And so the one that we owe the money to wipes the debt out completely for both of us. Jesus' story says, which one would be the most grateful? Which one do you think would be most grateful? Me? Someone forgives me of $1 million debt, and someone else has a small debt, and they say, you're forgiven. And Jesus, that's Jesus' point. Who's going to be the most grateful? And he said, Simon, this woman who has been forgiven of much is grateful. No condemnation toward the woman. No turning away from her. No disgust. Instead, acceptance. And I want to talk about acceptance for a moment. Acceptance is the fruit people taste when we show them love. It means allowing others to be who they are without disapproving of or losing patience with them. Now, hang in there with me, because you're going to think that Bill's gone liberal on us and he's going to say whatever goes flies. Don't believe that. Just hang in there with me, okay? There are some thoughts that I want to give you about acceptance. Number one, acceptance allows the judgment to rest with the Lord, not with me, not with us. I look at it this way. There's an old saying that says, what goes around comes around. The judgment that I render toward somebody else, I guarantee you someone will find something wrong with me. And something wrong with something I do, and then there it is. So judgment rests with God, not with me. I am not somebody's judge. The second acceptance idea is it provides each person the freedom to choose. Every person, folks, has the freedom to choose and make up their own mind. We can try to force that, but it doesn't work. Let me put it this way. No one answers to me. And no one answers to you. You don't have to come in my office and say, man, I really messed up. I need to confess all my sins. And I'm not going to do the same thing for you. I mean, if you want to come in and talk and you say, I need some help, fine. But there's not a confessional thing going on here, because you see, we're all sinners. And there's the third one. It helps us focus on essentials, not incidentals. There's a saying that I like to go to. It says, we often major in minors. There are some things that are not important, that don't amount to a hill of beans, and yet we allow them to grow and to blow up. I think we spend too much time on things that don't matter. Now, as I say all this, I want you to hear the clarification, Satan, because I am not saying that whatever anybody does is acceptable, okay? Please hear that. Not everything everybody does is acceptable, and here's why. Acceptance is not the same as affirmation. In other words, I may not agree with a lifestyle choice or I may not agree with what someone is doing. I can accept them, but I do not have to affirm their actions. Okay, please hear that. Accepting someone does not mean affirming what they do. I love them for them, not what they do or don't do. That's the Pharisees. The Pharisees accepted people based on what they did or didn't do. That's not Jesus' way. He can accept people, he just will not affirm their action. And I believe that he wants us to do the same thing. Accept people, talk with them, but don't affirm them. I think it's true, or true to form, I should say, that Simon reacts like all the other Pharisees do. His thoughts give him away because Jesus reads his thoughts. And he talks about, about the woman's brazenness. I mean, she walks into a house full of men, lowers her hair, and begins to minister to Jesus. And then what happens is in Simon's talk, he also questions who Jesus is. He said, if this man was really a prophet. Jesus tells a story, and his response to what is happening shows us how he feels about everything. Simon had one major problem. He was blind. He was blind to his own sin. He was blind to the way he really was. It's easy for us to be blind to ourselves. What I found that I am most blind to is the things that I am the strongest on. I like to find people who don't have the same problem I do, you know, and point at them and say, oh, I've had to really, really watch that because I'm a sinner too. And that's the second part of this. What it reveals is not the superior of the woman to Simon, but that she was a sinner too. What I like is Jesus did not look at her with disgust. He did not turn away because of her shame. Maybe he responded because of her shame. Maybe he responded because of her lack of direction or because of the lifestyle that she chose. All I know is Simon got a dress down and the woman didn't. Well, Jesus is almost done, but he's not quite. What he does do is he removes her scarlet letter. Look what he does. He confronts Simon. He said, Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. And these are cultural things. I came into your house. You gave me no water for my feet. In other words, you didn't wash my feet. That was a cultural thing. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, which, by the way, she had to let down to do, which was anathema. You gave me no kiss, which was the greeting. But she has not stopped kissing my feet from the time she walked in here. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. And therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. You know what? That's the way Jesus is. Jesus looked beyond her shame. He looked beyond her uncleanness. He looked beyond the fact that she was dirty, that she was a streetwalker, that she may have sold herself multiple times in one night. He didn't care, and neither should we. Because if we follow and see people through the eyes of Jesus, we're not going to see the streetwalker. We're not going to see the hungry. We're going to see down inside them and find out what their heart is like. What made them that way? Why are they lost? Because you see, that's the way Jesus was. Well, there are two truths that I want to leave you with this morning. I hope you will never forget these. Number one, pride paralyzes. That was the Pharisee's problem. That was Simon's problem. He was paralyzed because he was prideful. But then there's another. Forgiveness frees. And that woman experienced forgiveness. You see, folks, no matter what we have done, no matter what kind of shame we carry around, no matter how bad we feel about our past, no matter how guilty we feel about our past, Jesus is not interested in all of that. He's only interested in cleaning us up, of making us new people. And he doesn't care what you've done. He doesn't care if you look back and say, oh man, I did something I don't think I could ever be forgiven for. We're going to eventually talk in Mark about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is the unforgivable sin. He's not going to look at you and say, oh, you did that, I can't forgive that. You never hear that from the lips of Jesus. Why? Because he loves. Because his whole purpose, his whole goal is to change us from the inside out, to make us new people, to love him more than anything else. Forgiveness frees. And if you are carrying around this weight on your shoulder that you say, man, I just can't get rid of it, I can't forgive myself, Jesus says, yes, you can, because I will forgive you. I will make you new. I will set you free. And you don't have to be lost and lonely. In fact, if you carry all that stuff around, look at number one. Pride paralyzes. And if you carry it around, it's going to paralyze you. But forgiveness frees. If you have not come to know Jesus, I want you to know that you cannot know freedom. You will constantly be fighting your past. And you'll constantly be fighting the sin that lingers, that you can't get rid of. The sin that you say, oh, if anybody ever knew that, I'd be in real trouble. Jesus never looks at that. He simply says, come to me. I know exactly what you need, and I need you to come to me, and I'll make you free. I'll make you clean. Can you imagine if you read the rest of the scripture, he tells that woman, go, your faith has set you free. Can you imagine her walking away going, whoa! What a phenomenal feeling of being set free. And that's what Jesus offers us. If you've never come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that offer is for you. If you are watching and you've never come to know Jesus, the offer is for you to come to know him and be set free. You don't have to be chained to your past. You don't have to be chained to your shame. You're set free by the blood and by the love of a phenomenal Father. How deep the Father's love for us. A love beyond measure. You can experience that if you haven't already done so. I'd love to hear from you, whether you're online or here. I'd love to talk with you. Email me. I'll get back to you. Text me if you want to. Just be careful if it's in the middle of the night, but I may not be able to answer you right away. But anyway, I want to talk with you if you have never come to know Jesus as your Savior. And for those of us who have, live in freedom. Live in freedom. You don't have to carry that chain anymore, that sack of garbage on your legs or over your back. You're free. Live like this woman who walked away from Jesus, changed and different. Well, let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you so much for this day that you've given to us, and I thank you for the lesson that we can learn from Jesus as he confronts the Pharisee, as he confronts Simon with his pride, and as he confronts the woman with her sin. Simon could never know the freedom that this woman experienced because he was too proud. But this woman experienced the freedom of forgiveness and the freedom of go your way, go in peace, because she came to Jesus and he made her new. There are some folks who need to be made new by you. I pray that they will come, whether they are here this morning, whether they hear it this morning or another time when they watch. I pray that people will come to know Jesus as their Savior. And those of us who are Christ followers, help us, Lord, to look at people as Jesus saw them, as people who needed a Savior, as people who need someone who needed somebody to love them. Help us to accept without affirming, but to look beyond what we seem to be obvious and see inside a person. Give us wisdom and grace to do that. Thank you for these folks who are here and those who are watching. And I pray, Lord, that as we walk through this week, help us to keep our eyes open, wide open, to people who need you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thanks for joining us online. We appreciate it. Have any questions or comments, feel free to email me, and we'll try to answer them. Have a great week.